The city council will come to order and the clerk will call the roll. Here.
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 Councilman McElroy, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
First item on the agenda is executive communications. There are none. Next item on the agenda is general communications. Are there any council members that have anything to say under general communications? Councilwoman Travis.
And I have a proclamation I'd like to present.
Yes.
I'd like to ask John Howell to step forward. Yes, I was going to put a lot of funny things in, which I'll pop in there every once in a while. Yeah, I will. This is a resolution of congratulations, whereas John Howell, 78, editor of the Warwick Beacon, publisher of the Beacon Communication, is being honored by family and friends for his longtime support, commitment, and dedication to the community for the past 50 years. And whereas at a young age of 28, that was a while back, right? Yeah. John and his then business partner, Anthony, is it Rivataco? Yeah. Bought the Beacon in December of 1969. Whereas John took sole possession of the company in 1980 with Richard Fleischer coming on as a general manager. The Beacon is now a biweekly paper publishing on Tuesdays and Thursdays with a circulation of roughly 6,000. And whereas John, in the founding board chair of the Rhode Island Mentor Partnership, now known as Mentor Rhode Island, many people don't know, but I was on that board with you back then as the representative for the city of Warwick. Yes. Supporting the cause of young mentoring, which John continues to champion. And whereas During his long and productive lifetime, he has earned in respect and affection of people from all walks of life and all ages because of his knowledge, experience, wisdom, and community spirit. And whereas, in recognition of John's contribution to our community and its citizens, we hereby express our deep appreciation for his service in the community. Now, we know John has done a lot of stories, good, bad, and ugly ones. Some of them I remember, and I know hundreds of them that we shared in my ward alone, whether it was car shows, a national night out, Easter egg hunts, or the karate ones. But I remember some funny ones that, like, remember when John Link Chafee shooed Acorn, the horse that's downstairs now, or Bob Shapiro and Scott Avedisian going down a slide together. Remember, some of them were very funny. And, of course, there were some bad ones that he covered. I mean, the teacher strike. In my ward alone, we had a fire in Oakland Beach that you covered, and we lost two lives. And, of course, the Craig Price story. But John has covered so many stories, great ones, Rocky Point, all kinds of good stuff. So now, therefore, be resolved, the mayor and the Warwick City Council extend to John. Appreciate for his distinguished service and wish him health and happiness in the years ahead. The City Council is directed to forward a copy of this resolution to John Howell. I look forward to working many more years with you, John.
Another 50.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. There you go.
And this is on behalf of the City Council.
Fine. I was asked whether I wanted to say something. I guess I have the medium to go ahead and say something. Just have to read it in the Beacon. Thank you all very much. Very much appreciated.
Is there anything else under general communications? Anything else from council members? Okay, we'll move on to the acceptance of the minutes from council meeting held on November 18th, 2019. Someone could make the motion. You make a motion for favorable?
Mr. President, I need to make a change on the minutes. On the minutes of November 18th, it states under general communications, presents a resolution of congratulations to Rosa Popper. It should be Flora Popper. The resolution that I did have that night did say Rosa, which is probably by the discrepancy, but it needs to get changed to Flora.
All right, the clerk will note that. Thank you. It's changed. Is there any other discussion on the minutes of the meeting from November 18th, 2019? If not, could I have a motion for favorable made by Councilman Lattisaw, seconded by Councilman McAllister? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes stand passive November 18th. The next minutes of the meeting are December 2nd, 2019. If someone could make a motion for favorable action. Councilwoman Travis, seconded by Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on the minutes on December 2nd? If not, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes stand passed for December 2nd. There was some announcement of appointments. The Warwick Sewer Authority, Anthony Calurini, that is for the Warwick Housing Authority, and the Tree Warden, Carlos Pinero. If I mispronounce that, I apologize. That's announcement of appointments from the administration. Appointments requiring confirmation, there are none. Councilman Sinapi.
I'd like to move to amend the docket to move some things around.
You're moving to hear which item first?
To put PCO 186-19, that should be the school bond issue, first, followed by the PCO 20-19 and PCO 19-19, followed by PCR 187-19.
Okay. Could you just give the titles to the council members just in case they didn't have it in front of them?
The monster. All right. 186-19 is the 180, resolution relative to bond approval for the 2020-2021 school department projects, the release of funds. PCO 19-19 is the ordinance of the city council authorizing the purchase of streetlights, the conversion of fixtures to light emitting diode technology, and the financing thereof through an appropriation obligation and determining other matters in connection therewith. PCO 20-19 is ordinance of the city council authorizing the design, construction, repair, rehabilitation, and improvement of streets and sidewalks in the city, including but not limited to paving, drainage, traffic control devices, safety improvement, and landscaping, and the financing thereof through an appropriation obligation and determining other matters in connection therewith. And PCR 187-19 is resolution relative to the ratification of collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Firefighters Local 2748 IAFF AFL-CIO for the period of July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2022.
Is there any objection to hearing the
question?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Sinapi, I'm just curious as to what the reasoning is for requesting this change. I've not ever seen this type of a change. What's the reason?
We've had this type of change before, number one. And number two, the issue regarding the paving and the lighting is something that's time sensitive due to loan rates. The issue regarding the bonding for the schools is similar. And then the issue regarding the ratification is because we're on meeting three and is also similar time restraints.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any objection to that order? No objection. Okay, so we'll move to the first one, which is the school bond referendum. Could I have which is number six, PCR 186-19, a resolution relative to bond approval for the 2020-2021 school department project release of funds. That was sponsored by me. Committee report, finance. For action, if you could move it for me, Councilman.
Favorable action on PCR 186-19.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister, Councilman McElroy, and Councilman Ricks. Is everybody co-sponsoring it? That's why I was looking. But the whole and the entire council. Okay. Is Councilman, if you could, I don't know if you want any discussion on this, or this is a resolution to release the rest of the bond funds.
The superintendent's at the podium. I'll defer to him.
Superintendent, if you could.
Hello, good evening. As you recall, last month we were in front of the Finance Subcommittee. And just to review quickly, this is the $40 million bond approved by the taxpayers a few years back. Last year was the first release, the $6.1 million. This tonight would be for the second release, totaling, after state reimbursement, to the $6.854 million. In next summer's projects, once again, just to recap, the seven remaining fire alarms, five abatement projects, five of the ADA projects in need, seven playgrounds, four roofs. Those are the lion's share of the projects next summer. And once again, looking for your approval. And as I mentioned last month, all the information is on a handout. I can once again circulate to the public or to the council. And we have a website that details out exactly what's happening. Our next meeting, by the way, is tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. should anyone want to come by and watch the next step in the process.
Thank you. Councilman Lattisaw.
Mr. President, I'd also want to point out that the first drawdown on the bond that we had approved for the school department, we had been very insistent on getting updated reports and how they were doing on time, on budget, et cetera. And they did comply with that. And Superintendent, if you could give us where you are with that bond right now in terms of timeliness and budget.
Right. As I mentioned last month, we're a little under budget and we are on time. The last two projects would be the spring for the first two playgrounds. We had to kind of get our feet wet with the playgrounds being ADA in nature. But now that we're moving forward, we'll do seven playgrounds next year. So to answer your question, a little under budget and on time, except for the two playgrounds being done this spring.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 186-19 stands passed.
Thank you.
Good luck. Next item on the agenda, I believe, is PCO 1919, an ordinance of the City Council authorizing the purchase of streetlights, the conversion of fixtures to LED technology, etc. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilwoman Travis.
I move favorable action on PCO 19-19.
Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy, Councilman McAllister, and Councilman Lattisaur. This is for second passage on the LED bulbs. Is there any discussion on this? I had said before that I believe that this is a good purchase, in particular because of the ability of the city to possibly lease out space for 5G service among the different carriers. So hopefully that will compensate us and provide more lighting at a reasonable cost to the citizens. If there's no more comments, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCO 1919 stands passed for second passage. Next item on the agenda is PCO 2019, an ordinance of the City Council authorizing the design, construction, repair, rehabilitation, and improvement of streets and sidewalks in the city, including but not limited to paving, drainage, traffic control devices, safety improvement, and landscaping, and the financing thereof through an appropriation, obligation, and determining other matters in connections therewith. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilwoman Travis.
I move favorable action on PCO-20-19.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Ricks. Is there any discussion on this? I think I was the lone dissenter on this on first passage, and the reason that I was, just to reiterate, was because currently we've been budgeting between $2.5 and $4 million a year. If we keep up that pace over 10 years, we'd have about $25 million. I don't think that it was wise to reduce the amount that we're going to be spending over those years for a short-term bump as this gets rolled out over 3 years and pay interest on it. I appreciate everybody else's, all my other council members' opinions on this, but I think during the previous administration when roads were budgeted at $100,000 a year, it really took a toll. So I think we're all trying to get to the same place. I hope that we see funding in that line item rather quickly rather than just relying on that $10 million over 3 years. Is any other comments? If not, a yes is to approve for second passage, and the clerk will call the roll. No.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Yes.
That's approved, second passage, PCO 2019. Next item on the agenda that was moved to the top of the agenda is PCR 187-19, a resolution relative to the ratification of collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Firefighters Local 2748. That period is from July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Recommend favorable action.
Okay, do I have a second? Councilman McElroy, Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis. I don't know if the administration is planning on making any statements tonight. I know there was a list of questions that were given to the administration. My understanding was they might be responding to those tonight.
Good evening, Mr. President. William D. Pasquale, Chief of Staff. Well, there are many perspectives regarding this matter. We should all hold true to the ideal of respectful discourse. We've heard the testimony. We certainly have heard many of the perspectives that have been laid out by both the elected officials and our general public. The mayor believes that the proposed contract that is in front of you tonight is a win for the taxpayer. It is also fair and equitable to our firefighters. We know that increases nationally in wages in the last 10 years have rose to some 3.4%. This contract proposes something well below that market wage increase at 0, 2, and 2. Of the 2% wage increases for years 2 and 3, these are fully offset by concessions from the union. A reasoned mind cannot construe that the wage-neutral 3-year contract is outrageous. I want to be clear on this. It's a flat-out win for the taxpayer. I also ask, in this roaring economy, how many people do you know lost 7 vacation, holiday, and sick time as part of their recent contract? This contract saves the city $170,000 per year by a reduction of 4 sick days. The elimination of 1 holiday saves $80,000 a year, and the elimination of 2 personal days expected to save another $200,000 a year. This contract, therefore, saves the taxpayer $450,000 each year. I believe we all can agree that saving taxpayer dollars is a positive outcome. A vote for this contract tonight is a vote for pension reform, which we need today. No more delays. This contract, if approved, would include Tier 2 pension reform. And the pension reform is universally understood to be a decided measure that the taxpayer would like to see. A vote for this contract finally addresses future OPEB liabilities for the first time in Warwick's history. No one can argue having the employees fund 30% of the future health care liability after retirement is a bad thing, considering it's zero today. The contract provides the first meaningful management rights clause in the city's history. It sets a scheduled design for reduced overtime costs, which is also a win for the taxpayer. Unfortunately, not approving this contract will expose the taxpayers of this city to the prospect of uncapped binding arbitration ruling that could result in wage increases from 1.5% to infinity, including possible loss of other arbitration items such as manning costs that could be thrust upon this city without any voice from our community or the taxpayers. I urge the City Council not to gamble with the taxpayer dollars. By approving this contract, you will mitigate the current interest arbitration risks that threaten our community today. I thank you, Mr. President, and I ask for consideration for favorable action on this particular contract.
Mr. DePasquale, there was a series of questions submitted by Councilman Sinapi. I called you to the mic. We've heard you say that before. But did you answer any of the questions that Councilman Sinapi had submitted to you?
What I heard was a finance committee that had taken a lot of testimony. I'm not so sure I saw a motion of the entire body that voted to allow modifications of the existing contract.
So the ratification
procedure as set out by charter, not made up by anyone, just allows an up and down vote. I think we already submitted that Scrivener's errors would be something that we can easily modify. There are some five Scrivener's errors, five, in a document that's, what, 100 pages? I think that is fair to say that we would do the Scrivener's errors. We believe what was forwarded to this body complies with the fiscal note that's provided in four sections of the ordinance. It complies with every statute that's outlaid in your ordinance. Now, I understand if there's disagreement as to the contents of the fiscal note, or if they would like to see, or someone would like to see something that was in black, which wasn't changed by the contract, should have been changed, that's probably a reason, you know, not to vote for this contract. But to modify line item is not something that this charter and the council and the ordinance allows. It allows an up and down vote based on what's presented. We will stipulate that Scrivener's errors, all five of them, get corrected. And that's where we are tonight.
Could you identify the five errors for us?
I can't. If you just give me a minute, I can do that. They are as follows. Page 30.
Page what?
Page 30, 3-0. It reads, holiday pay shall be 1/4 the employee's weekly salary. There was an error in this contract going back to the days prior to even this contract being written. It had next to it a parenthesis. It said 1 1/4, but never was 1/4 left out. So in that case, we would be striking the parentheses that say 1 1/4 and simply in its place put 1/4. Page 66.
I'll ask. I did have a question, but you can run through them.
There was a question that in
page 66.
Page 66, it's C, Pension Plan 2. Section 1, Membership for Plan 2. Instead of 2018, it reads 2019. The second paragraph also from 2018 to 2019. The third paragraph from 2018 to 2019. And finally, there's a signature bar that reads, as required by Section 218 of the Code of Ordinances, the ordinances of this fine city of the City of Warwick, the City Council has ratified the terms of this collective bargaining agreement, and that would be placed in there as it is understood once this, if this is approved, that it did receive that requisite approval by the as required by the ordinance.
That would also appear on page 66?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's page 73. My apologies.
Page 73. And is that number three, the error number three, or is that error number two?
That would be after in witness thereof. So that's 1, 2. That would be a new paragraph 4 after paragraph 3.
It'd be a new paragraph 4?
Yes.
Okay. And that's the identified third change or the identified second change?
No, that's one change. And so what I did is I reviewed the 19, which is two changes, which occurred three times. That would be 4.
Okay.
And the fifth would be 1/4. So that's a total of 5.
And the fifth, okay, so... Page 73 is the third error.
I'll go through them again.
Sure.
Page 30, 3-0. First, it's 1/4. You're eliminating the parentheses that said 1 1/4. Page 66, under C, Pensions 2, Plan 2, it reads 2018 in the first paragraph. That would be stricken to 2019. The second paragraph, entitled Tier 2 Means, 2018 to 2019, and the third paragraph, 2018 to 2019. Those are three inclusive. And then the final will be on page 73, which is as required by Section 218 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Warwick. The Warwick City Council has ratified the terms of this collective bargaining agreement.
So those are the errors that appear in the document.
Those are the five Scrivener errors. That's correct.
When the fiscal note was performed, was it performed on the contract as is?
The fiscal note was, and I can have Brian, who is a finance director, respond to exactly how the fiscal note complied with all four sections of the city code of ordinances. As we all know, there are four relevant sections of our ordinance that the fiscal note should comply with. They are sections 2-18 entitled Ratification of Collective Bargaining Agreements, section 30-7 called Same Return, which is the return of the information to the council, section 30-6 Content, and 30-5, which is called Fiscal Notes. I could read each one and we can go through with Brian. Brian, please come up. And we can address how the fiscal note addresses all those four provisions, which is required by charter, if you'd like, Mr. President. That's up to
you.
Yeah,
my question was, and if Brian's going to answer the question, that's fine. My question was, there were five errors made that the administration has identified. And my question was the fiscal note performed with those five errors included, or was the fiscal note performed with the five errors not included?
Five Scrivener errors had absolutely no substantive change to what was set forth to the pension actuary or the OPEB actuary.
Well,
when we review them, we can see that they're not substantive. The first one is a date change, which just an error.
The first one was holiday at a quarter.
Which was already
one quarter, and then it says 1 1/4. So when the fiscal note was performed, was it performed at 1/4 or 1 1/4?
It was 1/4.
That's correct. It was performed at 1/4.
And to clarify, 1/4 is in there, and then it's 1/4, parentheses, 1 1/4, in parentheses. So the quarter was the defining aspect of that review.
And the dates, Brian, it should have been 2019 or 2018?
The Scrivener errors were listed as 2018, should have been 2019. The fiscal note was based on 2019.
So even though there were errors in the document themselves, you had calculated it based on 2019 and not 2018?
That is correct.
When did you become aware, because obviously you knew what the provisions were, when did you become aware that the document was inaccurate? Was that before you performed your fiscal note?
The fiscal note was prepared based on the quarter, which was in the contract and other, I believe, the 1/4 on the holidays were listed in other places within the contract. That was an error on that page. The fiscal note was based on the 1/4, not the error within that page.
So did you yourself read this contract, or did you perform a fiscal note based on information that was provided to you from the administration?
Both. I performed a fiscal note and I...
So you read this contract and knew of the errors in the contract. Is that right or wrong?
It's very clear that when you read a rational review of that 1/4 was prevailing number.
I want to know.
And clearly, when the fiscal note was conducted.
I want to know, if there were errors, why all nine council members weren't told there were errors. That through the public process, that we had to determine there were errors. If there were errors when this was presented in your speech that you gave, it should have been not only identified in that speech, it should have been told to us when we were given the document. So if you folks were aware of this and knew that there were errors in the document, why weren't we told?
The Scrivener's errors that are in this document have not changed the fiscal note or the substantive nature of the contract. If it wants to, if that is brought up as a ruse to say that, you know, you don't support the contract, that's fine.
A ruse?
But yes, a ruse.
I want to know when somebody says holiday is at one quarter and then it's at 1 1/4, and the finance director knows, because he just testified that he read the document and knew of the errors, but he calculated a different way. Why wasn't this document changed before it was given to us? And more importantly, why weren't we told when we were given this document there were errors in the document? Why did we have to go through the Socratic process to figure out that you knew something that we didn't? And what else is in here that we haven't identified that you know about?
Well, it's interesting that Socratic process that you speak about. It's important to understand that Socratic process that you speak about came about because of Mayor Solomon providing each and every line item in this contract. And Mr. Council President, I think when we received TAs with four bullets back, 4 or 5 years ago, it was the council who would like to also have seen the individual line item. Every single line of this contract was presented before the council and to the public with the line item for addition and strikeout for removal. I think that should be applauded. Now, in the process, the answer to your question is there was no substantive change. The interpretation is clear and unambiguous. It was 1 quarter. The fact that the 1 quarter was followed by a parenthesis, 1 1/4, doesn't make the fiscal note that was provided any less substantial than it is now in terms of facts. It was based on 1 quarter. That's the testimony. Now, if you don't want to believe the testimony given by our finance director, I guess that's fine. But the finance director has given testimony to this entire body that the fiscal note was performed on 1 quarter and using the 2019 data. That's what you have in front of you to deliberate tonight.
Mr. DePasquale, I just asked, why wasn't this council told that there were errors in this document when it was given to us with a fiscal note? That was my question. If you knew of these errors, which you both of you just testified to, why weren't we told?
Well, it sounds great when you say that, like there was something nefarious going on. But the fact of the matter is you have a 100-page document, and you may have an error or two. The fact that the fiscal note represents what the real numbers are is the important part. If it's a fishing expedition to see in a 100-page document to see if you can find 5 Scrivener errors, I would say that these errors occur quite frequently in a document of this size. But there wasn't a substantial change because the numbers were utilized that actually exist.
So what you're saying is that we should have anticipated that there were errors and that you didn't need to tell us about the errors you knew about.
Well, I speak for myself. I don't have you characterize actually how I speak. But it's understood to me that the fiscal note provided to this body includes the numbers of 2019 for the fiscal year and the 1 quarter.
So the fiscal note that we were given was based on errors that we didn't know about.
Absolutely.
Fair statement?
Absolutely not.
No, that's not a fair statement.
Incredibly incorrect.
So if you read this contract as it's written, and you're familiar with the parole evidence rule, aren't you?
No.
Where contracts are read within the four corners of the document, that you don't go outside of documents because, you know, hey, maybe I was selling your house at 123 Smith Street and I reversed the numbers and I sold you the house at 321. No big deal. Okay? You bought the wrong house and I didn't have authority to give it to you. This is exactly what we went through in 2012 and 2015, which caused arbitration after arbitration, grievance after grievance. If there are errors made, and I'll defer to my city council solicitor at this point, does the Walk City Council have the authority to amend this document? And correct me if is it on?
I hope I spoke loudly enough so that I apologize.
Touch it again.
The City Council does not have the authority to amend the document.
And you're familiar with the term Scrivener's affidavit, correct?
Scrivener's error, yes.
Scrivener's error. And when is that used? Is that used, typically, I'm familiar with it being used in the real estate context, not in a collective bargaining agreement context. Could you explain that to us?
Sure. Typically, I agree with you that I am most familiar with that term when it comes to real estate documents, particularly deeds during the age when deeds were handwritten recorded based on a Scrivener's efforts to write out the legal descriptions. The concern I think that's being addressed is that what I have reviewed, by the way, so that I can give you some context to my response, Mr. President, is that I have reviewed a tentative agreement, contract, which I would call an underlined and crossed out in red to show where those changes are made in the body of the contract based on that tentative agreement. And I have reviewed what has been previously provided to the council by my predecessor, Mr. Harrington, in terms of his review of all the content as well. The concern is that as I listen to this colloquy, is as to page 30, there is an ambiguity on page 30 of the document that has been provided to us, in that it reads, holiday pay shall be 1/4, parenthesis, 1 1/4, the employer's weekly salary, and shall be paid to each employee over and above his her weekly salary, and then the sentence goes on. So the problem is the ambiguity that's been created between the written words 1/4 and the parenthetical 1 1/4, meaning to identify the written words. Clearly, based on the testimony that we heard from the finance director, whose fiscal note was based on 1/4 and not 1 1/4, that 1 1/4 should be changed to 1/4 so that the ambiguity does not exist in the contract.
And my question is, I think you had already answered, which was, we don't have the authority to change that or amend it. And how would that take place if we did want to vote on an agreement that didn't have 5 errors in it?
Now, the council may not amend. I think as was presented to the council a few moments ago in the administration's presentation, it's either a up or down vote from this council for what is being presented to it.
And I'm assuming that if the council cannot amend this agreement, I'm assuming a Scrivener's affidavit cannot amend this agreement, correct?
That is correct. I would strongly not recommend attaching a Scrivener's affidavit to a collective bargaining agreement.
May I, Mr. President?
Go ahead. Be recognized? Mr. DePasquale.
With all due respect to the council, we have our council solicitor here and one of, if not the best labor attorney in the state. I'd like a different perspective if you would allow me to come up, Tim Bliss, and maybe kind of discuss this from your perspective.
Sure.
The ability to correct the Scriveners and what mechanism might be attached there too.
So, Mr. Bliss, who wrote this contract, by the way?
It was written by the parties. The attorneys involved worked on it.
Okay. So who drafted this contract that we're reading? Who actually typed it?
In large part, it was counsel for the union.
Mr. Penza?
Correct.
Okay. And you agree that there were five errors made, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And you're suggesting that we should not correct the five errors, that we should do before we vote on it, that we should do it some other methodology, right?
They're simple typographical errors that should be corrected, Scrivener's errors, and I think it's clear in the document that both parties agree they're errors and they should be corrected. Correct, yes.
So, just to be clear, if we voted on it, and, well, did you want to respond?
I agree that it should be corrected. I agree with that statement. It should, especially that 1 1/4, that should be corrected.
And, you know, the significance on page 66 of the 2018 and 2019 when people were hired and what tier the people would go into is significant also. Because there's costs associated with all of this. But your opinion is that, well, let me ask you this. Can this agreement be amended now on the by the Warwick City Council on the floor, in your opinion?
The agreement as a whole can be voted on. Prior to execution, the Scrivener's errors will be corrected.
Okay.
If I could just address the...
Well, if you could answer my question and then you could make your statement. My question is it your advice to this council that this council can or cannot amend this agreement on the floor tonight?
No, the council votes on the agreement.
So we cannot amend it, just so we're clear.
You're voting on the contract. The contract, everyone's being very clear and above board that there are these errors that will be corrected prior to execution.
So my question, I thought, was simple. Can this council amend and change those errors on the floor tonight?
Yes. I would propose an amendment that
Mr. DePasquale, in your
resolution, I'm sorry, Bill DePasquale, Chief of Staff, that the resolution be amended. It could, as an option, be amended to include words like, and it reads right now, now therefore be resolved that the City Council hereby supports ratification of the contracts and authorizes the mayor to execute any and all documents as well as correct Scrivener's errors. That could be a way.
That could be amended tonight on the floor. Okay. So, Mr. Bliss, my question to you was, can this council amend this collective bargaining agreement tonight to correct those five errors?
Yes.
So you're deferring to Mr. DePasquale, who's not an attorney. What's your opinion? You're the attorney.
Yes, through the ordinance that was just read, correct. That ordinance is stating that the amendments will be made.
So you're disagreeing with not only Mr. Harrington, our former counsel, but Mr. Conley. You disagree with his advice to us that we cannot amend. You're saying we can.
We're reading an ordinance that says the contract will be amended. Whether we can, are we arguing the semantics of whether it's physically being amended tonight or if it's being amended pursuant to the ordinance that says it will be amended?
We're voting on a collective bargaining agreement tonight.
Correct.
With five admitted errors, okay?
Correct.
And our question to both our city council solicitors was, can we amend it? And both of them say no. I'm listening to you, and you're saying we can amend it tonight.
I'm saying that you can vote on the collective bargaining agreement with the correction of those Scrivener's errors. The Scrivener's errors are what they are. We know what they are. They've been read into the record, and they will be corrected prior to the execution of the agreement.
So what you're saying is that they can be amended. So this issue, okay, is significant, obviously, because it impacts how you calculate the costs. So my question to you is, you've known about these errors for, I guess, since the fiscal note came out, which was, when did you do the fiscal note, Brian?
The fiscal note was dated December 6th.
December 6th. Why not just correct those errors and bring it to the council? Why didn't you do that?
The errors weren't noticed at the time, but we need to be abundantly clear.
Mr. DePasquale and the finance director said they saw the errors.
These errors have no fiscal impact whatsoever.
So one and one quarter holiday pay have no fiscal impact.
Actually, they wouldn't, because legally the words say one quarter, and
so you can disregard everything that's not written.
No, we're going to correct the error, but if that went to court with that ambiguity, I believe that the city would prevail anyway. But
so we should argue about it in court. Or fix it.
The errors are going to be corrected. More importantly, the 2018-2019 distinction makes no fiscal impact whatsoever because nobody was hired after 2018.
So we don't have to worry about anything.
No, it's going to be corrected, but well, it has why no
you,
fiscal
that's
impact.
Right. You're going to correct. Why are you correcting something that's insignificant?
Because it was brought up by the council at the last meeting. We know about the errors now. They weren't noticed when the contract was drafted.
So the president just inquired of me is, what's the authority for the position that the council does not have the ability to amend the contract this evening? I don't think there's any dispute between the administration who said that when they made their presentation. I don't think the dispute is whether or not the council, it's well settled authority. It's a negotiation process where each side ratifies. Ratification is not the negotiation part of the process. So I don't think there's any dispute about that, and I think that's well settled in Rhode Island that the council cannot amend the contract. I apologize, but I believe the administration also made that point in the beginning of his presentation.
Yes, and they had made it at the beginning of their other presentation the other night. Do you disagree with what Mr. Conley said, Attorney Bliss?
I don't disagree with that. I agree. I do, however, maintain that the Scrivener's errors can be corrected.
Is that your opinion, that Scrivener's errors can be corrected?
My concern, as I listen to this discussion, my concern becomes that what we are identifying as a Scrivener's error, without resorting to Black's Dictionary or any Rhode Island Supreme Court cases on what the definition of Scrivener's error is, I think we could all generally agree that that means it can't be anything substantive.
Right.
It has to
be the misspelling of a name.
It can't be anything substantive, which defining it in the negative is probably not the best way to do it, but at least I think that's a point we can all agree on. My concern is, as I listen to this discussion, is that we're characterizing
you have to speak into them
about holiday pay as 1/4 and 1 1/4, which I'd be hesitant to say that that is a non-substantive provision, that whether it's 1/4 or 1 1/4. We certainly have testimony that your fiscal note is based on 1/4.
Correct.
And so that the fiscal note defers to the written as opposed to the numerical part of that sentence. But I would respectfully not be as confident that if an arbitrator were to review a discrepancy between the written word and the numerical that it would sort of be an automatic. I understand you can go into bargaining history and other matters at an arbitration, but I don't think, and I think we're probably in agreement here as well, the best thing to do is to fix it. Just fix it so that there's no ambiguity. I think we're all in agreement on that.
Mr. DePasquale, there were a series of questions, that was my initial question to you, that were submitted to you by Councilman Sinapi regarding costs and other items. And my understanding was, do you know what I'm referring to?
I do not. I know that there was several questions by several individuals regarding the contract, and I do my best that I can to try to answer those questions. I think we had testimony on that.
Yeah. Mrs. Sinapi, do you have a list of those questions that you had asked?
I don't have a list with me, no.
Okay. Well, do you remember anything that was on your list, and was anything answered?
Well, for one, it wasn't my list. It was a list of questions and concerns from certain council members. And two, I forwarded it to admin in the city so that if those came up during the meeting, they would already have answers on hand.
Okay. And you don't remember any of those questions that you had asked?
I don't even remember what I ate for breakfast.
Okay. And did you get a response to any of those questions?
As far as I know, any responses were going to come tonight, should the questions arise. The whole point was to make sure it wasn't like the first meeting where questions were coming out of left field, so that instead there was preparation.
Right. But you didn't get any answers.
The answers weren't for me. They were for the fellow council members who had questions.
I'm just asking you if you got a response to your document, that's all.
Not that I recall, no.
Okay. My question to you has to do with the issue of OPEB. And in the note, the fiscal note, it says there's a 30% savings or a 27% savings by some of the provisions you were implementing. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, or maybe it's better to Brian, is what is the cost of OPEB to the city of Warwick?
Costs relative to the OPEB within the contract will not be realized until new hires are hired, at which time, as stated within the fiscal note, 30% of the cost would be funded by the employees from their withholdings.
Right. So my question to you is, a fiscal note gives the council, and I commend you on saying it's a 27 or 30% savings. My question is that if we implement this contract, there's going to be a cost to the city of Warwick for argument's sake, the 70% that's not covered. So my question to you is, what is the cost of that 70% to the city of Warwick?
As stated, I believe when this came up last time we talked about this, until an employee is hired, that is not, we could hire another employee 10 years from now, 5 years from now, that is not. I'm gonna read something from section 30.6. So it's regarding fiscal notes. Fiscal notes shall, wherever possible, cite effect in dollar amounts for the current fiscal year and estimates for the next two succeeding fiscal years. In the event that the fiscal effect commences or increases after the period commends on such additional costs or shall be required, no comment or opinion relative to the media merits of the bill shall be included, excepting, however, that technical or mechanical defects may be noted. The fiscal note that was presented for PCR 18719 noted the fiscal impact for the current fiscal year, FY20, and the two subsequent fiscal years of the contract, FY21 and FY22, and had a footnote related to the OPEB and pension impacts within the fiscal note.
Okay, so my question to you is, what is the cost to the city of Warwick for that change? That's it.
The city will realize 27 to 30% savings related to the OPEB costs based on this contract being implemented.
So if you go to the mall and you go shopping and you save 30%, you still had to pay. How much do we have to pay for this? That's my question.
No one's been hired. So what the public should understand, it's a 30% savings over what would happen today if this contract weren't approved. The reason why there is no number is for the simple fact that we haven't hired someone. We don't know how long they'd be a firefighter at a certain grade. They wouldn't know the life expectancy. I think we have Mike D'Amico that could kind of speak to this in particular. Michael?
Good evening. So department heads are allowed to speak. I'll allow you to speak, but we're going to swear in the witness.
Okay.
If you could swear in the witness.